Bid you welcome in the Saviour's great name. I want to say a couple of things. Number one, I'm very glad that you remembered about the time change so that you're not coming an hour late to the house of God. And the second thing is Noreen is with us today. I wasn't sure of your travel time, when you'd be back in Northern Ireland. I knew there was a schedule arranged to get your video done, but we welcome Noreen McAfee very particularly to the house of God today as we come here to worship the Lord. Our opening praise is the hymn 39. God moves in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. Together, the Psalm 111, 111, our psalm for today. Let's hear God's word. Begins with an opening exhortation to praise the Lord, and that's what we want to do as best as we can by God's grace as we come to worship Him today. Praise ye the Lord, I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright. And in the congregation, the works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endureth forever. He hath made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He hath given meat unto them that fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. He has showed his people the power of his works, that he may give them the heritage of the heathen. The works of his hands are verity and judgment. All his commandments are sure. They stand fast forever and ever, and are done in truth and uprightness. He sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverent is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. a good understanding have all they that do his commandments, his praise endureth forever. May God bless his word as we come to pray together. And you know we're thinking very much about what's happening in Ukraine in these days, that the Lord will step in mercy and he will have that compassion that we've read about in this psalm towards especially his own dear people at this time. So let's pray together. We come before thy holy presence just now, dear gracious God, and we do so in the exalted name of thy dear Son, Jesus Christ. To him has been given a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. As we approach the throne of grace today, we come to glory in the Lord and to exalt the name of our dear Savior. We thank thee that Christ is our mediator and intercessor. We thank you that he walks with us day by day as the one who has redeemed us and saved us and as the closest friend that we could ever have. For there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, and preeminently we know that to be our dear Savior. As we meet here, Lord, we come to your house seeking for refreshment spiritually, seeking for inner revival. We know that often our own hearts can grow cold towards the things of God, and we constantly stand in the need of personal revival. So, Lord, come among us today by the power and ministry of the Holy Spirit. Rid us in our hearts of those things that are displeasing in your sight. Take away our sins. We confess them. We bring them to the blood of the cross. We know that if we confess our sin, thou art faithful and just to forgive us for our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so, Lord, as we come to this place of worship, wash us afresh, that we might be clean and holy and come to the presence of God with pure hearts. We pray that thou will bind our minds and our hearts together in worship. As we sing together, we pray that there not only be the blending of our voices, but indeed our very souls as we lift our worship to God this day. Come among us with the overwhelming sense of your presence. May we know that God is here. The hymn writer said God is here and that to bless us with the Spirit's quickening power. We want to know that today. The immediate presence of God in this house of the Lord, drawing graciously near to each worshiper, speaking to our hearts personally and individually. We believe as we come here, if we are attentive to the Lord, there will be something to take away. Lord, we come to give our worship, but we want to take away your word. And we pray, therefore, as we have read it already in the psalm, and as we come to study and meditate later upon the scriptures of truth, that you will speak to our hearts and that we will know before we leave this house, God has spoken to me. Remember the sick and the needy of the church. We lay them before thee. Some, Lord, in this very house of God today that are still struggling with health issues. Others are laid aside in hospital or at home. We pray for them. We remember Mark down there in Belfast. We remember our sister Joan in the Causeway Hospital. We pray that thou wilt visit with them, that your presence will be known just where they are. We often think of that beautiful phrase of Scripture reminding us that underneath and round about are the everlasting arms of the Lord. May that certainly be their portion today. May it please the Lord to touch them and heal them and continue to guide the doctors and nurses as well in their work. We remember our sister Noreen, who has returned home for this little time from her field of service in the land of Uganda. We pray as she comes among us that she'll be able to settle in very quickly to her church family. We know that in a certain respect, her heart is still with the people that she works with and loves and ministers unto. But we pray that you'll encourage her in this time of deputation. We pray that you will bless that work that she represents. And we thank you, Lord, for all that has been done at Emmanuel. Thank thee for every child converted to Christ. We thank you for every adult that has been brought to the Savior. We thank you for the witness that is in that Nisalu area. And we pray that the church will grow from strength to strength and that every need will be provided, including a preacher. We remember Ukraine. Lord, we see again the sights every day, the bombings, the shootings, the mayhem. We think of those that have been plunged into sorrow, those that have been injured. Lord, we pray that you will bring this war to an end. We pray that you will bless your people especially. Remember those that are seeking to travel here to Ballymoney. We want to commit them very especially to the Lord as the process takes place and the paperwork is all being brought together. Lord, we pray that it will go smoothly and that everything will be brought to pass according to God's purpose and God's timing. And as they come among us, Lord, we pray that we will be an encouragement and a blessing to them. So continue with us this day. As we think of Mother's Day, we think of all our mothers. We pray that you will bless the ladies of this congregation. We thank you for them. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Very warm word of welcome to the congregation in the Savior's name. And those that are tuning in on the internet today, may the Lord bless you. Remind you of the gospel service tonight at 7, preceded by the half hour of prayer from 6:30 onwards. Tuesday is our youth challenge at 7, and Thursday is a special deputation service for Noel Shields. He's one of our evangelists working in this province, and we look forward to getting his updates and his report this Thursday night. We encourage you to come. There will be special prayer for missionary work and revival. Friday night is youth fellowship at 8 o'clock. We have a special Bible study, and Aaron McCauley will be the speaker. Friday is also presbytery, being the first Friday of the month, and that will take place physically in the Martyrs' Memorial. Saturday morning, the open air in the center of the town at 11 a.m. You're invited to come and stand with us for this public witness. Next Lord's Day, the prayer meeting, 8 o'clock. Sabbath school, 10:30. Bible class at 10:30, and our brother Mervyn Story will speak on the atonement, its necessity and meaning. The worship service at 12 noon. We hope to come back to our meditations from Mark's Gospel. We will see how things progress this week. We're getting ready to receive the friends from Ukraine, and if that all goes well, they should be here on Tuesday. If the paperwork is held up, there may be a delay. But next Lord's Day, if they're with us, we will certainly want to make that Lord's Day a special welcoming Lord's Day for them. They will come from a very difficult background, as you know, and they'll be traumatized. We want to be an encouragement to them, and I know that you will. The evening service is family night, and Victoria Salt will be here in the will of God to sing. I'll be preaching. The office bearer's time of prayer is 6 p.m. next Lord's Day. And the prayer meeting before the evening service. Refreshments will be served after the evening service. The Bible conference that is planned is from the 4th to the 10th. So it begins on the Monday night, runs through to the Sunday morning, and each night through the week at 8 p.m., then the Sunday meeting at 12 noon. The Reverend Patrick Baker is the guest speaker from our Newton Ards congregation. He's going to deal with the subject strength for the journey ahead. And we all need that strength for the journey that we're in as God's people. And the nights, Monday through to the Lord's Day, he'll be dealing with a journey which is too great for us, resting on the supremacy of God, recovering our hope. And then on the Thursday night, he can't be with us. I'll be bringing a message. He'll be back on the Friday, help from him who lives within. And then finishing on the Lord's Day at 12 o'clock, God's unfinished business. So let's pray for these meetings. Some special announcements also to make. We're hoping to have a men's breakfast on the 23rd of April. We'll give you details towards that time. It's going to be an outreach kind of ministry that Saturday morning as we invite people in to hear the gospel as well as to have just something to eat. Sorry. The Sabbath school social is on Friday, the 29th of April. Family night in May. Our sister Kira Arnold will be coming to testify and just to tell us how the Lord has carried her through by his grace. There's a ladies' fellowship is planned for Wednesday the 4th of May, a baptism service on Monday the 16th of May. If anyone feels exercised in this way, please see me as soon as possible. The Ballymoney Show, this outreach, the 3rd and the 4th of June. That's a Friday and a Saturday. And the Sunday school outing on Saturday the 11th of June, Children's Day, on the Lord's Day the 19th of June. So that's the plan. Just to let you know about these little invitations, the Bring a Friend Day, and that will take place in April the 10th, and we're encouraging our children to bring friends that day to Sunday school. I want to see the Sunday school increase and go forward and be blessed and owned of God, and these invitations have been provided. I think they got them in Sunday school today, okay, but there's extra ones at the door, and we're asked if parents can please encourage their children to ask their friends to come. And there's extra invitations on the table, and that's from our superintendent, who is away for a few days. Thank you sincerely for your tithes and offerings to God's work. Today is Home Mission Outreach Envelopes. Next week is Let the Bible Speak and Missionary Covenant Support. We want to extend again our sympathy to Mr. and Mrs. Tommy McConaughey on the passing of Tommy's mother, and to the whole family circle in this time of sorrow, trusting that the Lord will draw graciously near. Just to mention, there are a few of these cards. Some of you got them on Friday night at the Youth Fellowship, but it's a little card dedicated to the memory of Samuel Crawford. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, and the minister of Sandown got these and sent along a few copies. So there's a few here left, and I'll bring them to the door this morning. The work goes on in other parts of the world. As we know, in India this month, support to the 90 orphan children has been taking place, and these photographs were sent to us just this week. We could be showing dozens, but we just take a few of the select photographs that are sent to us so that you can see the children that are receiving this benefit every month, food supply. So pray for them. We've been remembering the family of this dear pastor in India. We were praying for him on Thursday night. He was tragically killed. He was murdered by Hindu extremists, and we are seeking to help his family a little bit, just to encourage them at this time, and a little gift will be sent out to their support. The work in Pakistan continues at the Thara Tara Sewing Center, and again, these are just recent photographs that have been sent to us as these ladies gather in to learn the art of sewing and to study the Word of God together and pray. Of course, Ukraine has been much in our minds, and we've been remembering the suffering. We've been praying for our brother Donald Fleming and the work that he's doing, and he's getting these ambulances sent out, fully equipped and full of medical supplies and food, and a couple of them are under his charge, and they're going out in the very near future. It is our plan to receive 34 refugees, and these are not all of them, but most of them, that will be coming to us in the will of God. So again, look at them, pray for them, that the Lord will bless the families and the individuals who come our way. I want to give a very sincere thank you to all who have helped with this project. And I was going to play the little video that some of you won't have seen. It was on the WhatsApp group. We only sent it to our own people, but I can reserve that maybe for tonight. So things like the washing machine that came in, the Hoover that came in, the beds that were provided, the shower unit, the blinds, furniture and food that has come in, financial gifts, all these things. And you know, I could speak for quite some time upon them, but we're just acknowledging the willingness of the people here at Hebron and elsewhere, your kindness and your generosity. Last Sunday night, when we said to the church, if some of you could help, stay behind, we'll talk to you. There were 70 people that stayed, and others who couldn't stay indicated at the door that they would like to help in some way. And we want to thank the session and committee for their support as well, the Sunday school teachers and the superintendent. We know that some rooms had to be given up, 9 down in the Carson complex, to facilitate those coming from Ukraine. Can I thank you sincerely in the Lord's name? The workers that came in, and there were those that came in and they worked so excellently and tirelessly, thank you. For those that are praying, that's a great ministry. And for those that have given, again, thank you in the dear Savior's name. We're going to sing together 749. Oh, give us homes built firm upon the Savior, where Christ is head and counselor and guide, where every child is taught his love and favor and gives its heart to Christ the crucified. How sweet to know that though its footsteps waver, the faithful Lord is walking by its side.
Thank you.
visiting with us, we are delighted always to have visitors, and we bid you a very warm word of welcome. We have prayed today for those in hospital, so do remember Mark Buchanan very especially, and my mother-in-law, Joan Gibson, she's in hospital, and prayer is requested for both of them. And I know that we have a church that remembers the folks in prayer who need the touch of the Lord. Let's open our Bibles to Judges 5, Judges chapter 5. I'm going to read the opening 7 verses. This is Deborah and Barak's song, and we're going to read the opening part of it. Verse 1 of Judges 5. Then sang Deborah and Barak, the son of Abinoam, on that day, saying, Praise ye the Lord for the avenging of Israel, when the people willingly offered themselves. Hear, O ye kings, give ear, O ye princes. I, even I, will sing unto the Lord. I will sing praise to the Lord God of Israel. Lord, when thou wentest out of Seir, when thou marchest out of the field of Edom, the earth trembled, and the heavens dropped. The earth also, the clouds also dropped water. The mountains melted from before the Lord, even that Sinai from before the Lord God of Israel. In the days of Shamgar, the son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the highways were unoccupied, and the travelers walked through byways. The inhabitants of the villages ceased. They ceased in Israel until that I, Deborah, arose, that I arose a mother in Israel. You've noticed by now we're not in Mark's gospel, and you've probably noticed by now what I'm going to preach on. If you're following the reading, I want to preach on a mother in Israel and just really take this last little phrase as a springing board to bring us into the subject. But we'll pray first of all, look to the Lord for his help, wisdom, and guidance. Heavenly Father, shut us in for the remainder of this meeting with thyself. Take away the other things, the distractions. We pray that thou wilt help us to concentrate upon the Lord and his word. Help us to know that what we have before us in our hands is the precious word that God has given. And may we value it and cherish it, read it and study it, meditate upon it and live by it. And when we come to the public means of grace like this, to sit in God's house and to have the word of God read and studied together, Lord, we pray that we will be instructed by the great teacher, the Holy Spirit himself. Hear this, our prayer, we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. And we have in this song the words of Deborah at the end of verse 7, I arose a mother in Israel. One of the highest and the inestimable privileges that any child can enjoy is to be under the influence of a godly mother and a godly father in the home. And as this is Mother's Day, I want to address my remarks particularly to our dear mothers that are in this service and those that are listening in on the internet. I had this high and sweet privilege growing up in my home, a privilege enjoyed by me and my 5 sisters. We saw everything in our mother that was worthy and precious. She was like the virtuous woman that we read about in Proverbs 31, and I commend that chapter and that section that deals with the virtuous woman to every lady, young and old, in this house of God today. My mother was a true Eunice in our home, a woman of unfeigned faith, bringing up her children in the faith of the gospel. She was like Hannah who gave her son to the Lord. And I know that after having in her family four girls, she was longing just for the break of the cycle and to have a boy. And whenever I was born, she dedicated me, just as Hannah did, to the Lord. We had home religion, therefore. And we rise up this day and we call her blessed. As a family, we do that. I have nothing but sweet memories of a dear mother who prayed for her children, who brought us up in the fear and the admonition of God, who corrected us when we needed to be corrected. And for me, that was often. All right, I admit that. My mother used to tell me, to my shame, she had more bother with me than the five girls put together. Now, I don't remember that, but she tells me it, and I know that is so. But my mother set an example in the home for her children to follow. And she worked tirelessly for our good. She not only sent us to the house of God, but she brought us to God's house. There was no excuse for me or my family being absent from Sunday school or from the children's work. We were sent there. We were brought there. My mother made sure to that. She never had a bad word to say about anyone, which is a lovely virtue to find. She loved God's people, and she loved those who loved the gospel and sought to spread the gospel and present it to others. She was a counselor, and she was a guide. And I miss her to this very day. And I know that many of you sitting here and listening in at home, you have also had this high and blessed privilege as well. And you have great memories, and maybe still do, of course, if your mother is still with you, of a mother that is godly. I thank God today for the godly mothers of this congregation. We are, and our families are, what we are because of your spiritual influence and example to the children of this congregation. By God's grace, you have endeavored to obey the Lord in bringing up your children in the fear and admonition of God. You have sought to train them in the way that they should go. But of course, there is more in the term mother than those who have borne children physically. We have true mothers in Israel, godly and spiritual figures in this church and in this community who exercise a very powerful influence for good. You have been examples to the children. You have been a godly influence. You have been pillars in this congregation, and we thank you for that. What is a mother in Israel? The term is only used twice in the Bible, and the first time that it is used, it is here in Judges chapter 5 and verse 7 of Deborah, the one female judge in Israel during one of the darkest periods of their history. Deborah is called a mother in Israel. And as far as we know it, she didn't have any children of her own, which raises the question of what this mother role was. How did Deborah come to be defined in such terms? What characteristics were in her life permitting her to be called a mother? Well, I think to get the answer to that question, it might be worth looking at those who may be considered to be mothers in Israel up until the time of Deborah, thinking about the worthy characteristics that were found in their lives. We have Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, and Leah, wives of the great patriarchs. They were matriarchs. We have Moses, the mother of the Exodus. And we have Samson's mother, another mother from this period of time, but earlier in the book of Judges. There is no doubt that Sarah made sure that her son Isaac was brought up in the true faith of the God of Israel. She was married, of course, to the father of the faithful, Abraham, this most outstanding character of God's word. What Rebekah did for Jacob made sure that he received the blessing of God upon his life. Now, she didn't go about it the right way, and that was a fault in her life. But the intention was good, in that she wanted her child to have God's blessing resting upon him. God wrought a miracle in Rachel's life so that she could bear children and made her fruitful. Leah is also associated with fruitfulness. Moses' mother did all that she could to protect her son and hide him in the Nile from harm's way. And then there's Samson's mother, who received the instructions from God how to bring up her son in the right way. And I think as you look at these things and study the lives of these mothers in Israel, there are lessons to learn. And there are mighty applications to apply, to make, if we are to discover, at least in part, what a mother in Israel really is. And for sake of time, I'm just going to look at three of the names that I mentioned. We're going to look at Sarah, her faithfulness. Do you remember how God made this woman to laugh when her son Isaac was born? Turn back in God's word to Genesis chapter 21. And look with me at verse 6. It says that Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. Oh, the joy that filled her heart when Isaac was born, when the son was given. But, you know, Sarah had laughed before. It was the laugh of unbelief on that occasion. We read about that in chapter 18. And look at verse 10. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure? My Lord also, my Lord being old also. Sarah denied laughing. It was a lie, of course. She laughed within herself. Oh, this is ridiculous. Can't believe it. Can't take it in. We're old. We're stricken in years. We're not going to have children at this time of our life. But it is in this very situation that God asked the question, is anything too hard for the Lord? And we know that nothing is too hard for the Lord. And when God says that a thing will come to pass, it will take place. And the promise was given at the appointed time. I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. And so, in chapter 21, we see the fulfillment of this. The chapter begins, and the Lord visited Sarah as he had said. And the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. You know, if God says something, if God speaks something, it's going to be done. And he'll do it to the letter. For Sarah, verse 2, conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. The child Isaac is born, and so named Isaac. And the name Isaac means laughter, reminding this family of the joy that this baby brought to their home. The laugh of unbelief was turned into a laugh of joy. Can you imagine the joy in this home? The child is given, the promise is fulfilled, the one through whom the Savior would come is born. There is no doubt that this child was specially cared for, particularly in the things of God. Bringing up Isaac was of paramount importance as far as this aged couple was concerned. And so, therefore, he was nurtured in the things of God. He was instructed in the law of God. He was cradled in the things of God. He was taught from his mother's womb. The godly character of this young man emerges in his absolute submission to his Father's will. I think you see that when you come to the next chapter, chapter 22, and what God required Abraham to do. Take now thy son, thine only son, whom thou lovest, and you know the story. You're to take him out to a place that I have appointed, that I will show you, out there into the land of Moriah, and you're to offer him there as a sacrifice. Let's read verse 9 of Genesis 22. Abraham took the wood and the burnt offering, laid it upon Isaac his son. He took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told them of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Not one mention of resistance at all. Perfectly in submission to the requirement of his father. Does that not say something about the influence of the mother upon Isaac? Most of these Jewish children were brought up under the influence and the nurture of their mothers. And Isaac had a great love for his mother, a great respect. And I think we see that whenever he comes to be married and his mother is no longer there. And we read at the end of verse 20, chapter 24, it's verse 67, the last verse. Isaac brought her into his mother's Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Here's a man that really loved and respected his mother. Yes, his mother definitely brought him up in the right place, in the right way. And you'll discover, as you go on to read his history, that he grew up to be a man of peace. I'll give you the references and you can look them up for yourself. It's Genesis 26 and verse 20 to 22, that history that deals with the digging of the wells and how the enemy came in and claimed those wells. He moved on somewhere else. He was a man of peace. We ought to be men of peace. He was a man of prayer. In the same chapter, Genesis 26 and verse 25, we read about him calling on the name of the Lord. And he was a man of faith. In Hebrews 11 verse 20, we read about him being chronicled there as one of the great heroes of faith. And I'm going to suggest to you something. This was largely due to the influence of a godly mother that this man turned out the way that he did, to be a man of peace, to be a man of prayer, to be a man of faith. One day we will know for sure when we get to glory, we'll be able to talk to him about these things and talk to his mother. But I think my speculation is right. Isaac had a good upbringing. His mother nurtured him, instructed him in the things of God. There was home religion. Sarah could say with Joshua, As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. She undoubtedly deserves to be named among the mothers in Israel. Here's a top priority for any woman that will ever deserve the title Mother in Israel. To do what the Scripture tells you concerning your children. To train them up, as Proverbs 22 and verse 6 tells us. Train them up in the ways of the Lord. When they're old, they'll not depart from it. And that's what our responsibility is as fathers and mothers, to train them up in the way that they should go, is what that verse says. Not the way that they would go. There's a massive difference. The way that they should go and the way that they would go can be opposites. We're to train them up in the way that they should go, according to God's word. The way that they would go is the way of the world, the way of sin. But God requires us as parents to make sure that we train them up in the way that they should go. We are to teach them diligently, as Deuteronomy 6 and verse 7 tells us. And there it's the law of God. Teach them diligently to our children. When you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you rise up, when you sit down, at every conceivable opportunity, we are to teach our children in the things of God. Paul said in the New Testament, teach the young women to love their children in Titus chapter 2 and verse 4. To love them means to train them in the right way, obviously. Not to be like Athaliah. She had a son, Ahaziah. And there is a verse I want to read to you from 2 Chronicles chapter 22. I want you to listen to what this verse tells us about this mother. 2 Chronicles 22 and verse 3. It's about Ahaziah. This is the background. And how that he only reigned 1 year. 1 year in Jerusalem. God only allowed him to reign 1 year. Such was his wickedness. Verse 3 tells us he also walked in the ways of the house of Ahab. Listen to this. For his mother was his counselor to do wickedly. What a shameful thing. His mother was his counselor, his teacher, his instructor to do what? To do wickedly. These are infamous words. These are dreadful words. They should never be written across any mother. Such can never be said about a mother in Israel. Oh, mothers, beware of the influence that you have. It's a very powerful thing. Very powerful. And how your children turn out very often is to do with your influence. I read an article yesterday, The Training of Children, written by a mother. And this is how it began. It's a very long article, really a sermon, but this is how it began. To whom does my child belong? Is it mine or the Lord's? Surely this question should need no discussion by Christian parents. For do we not recognize, even before they are born, that they are peculiarly a heritage from the Lord? And when they come into the world, our first duty is to hold them for and offer them to Him. Now, the keeping of this one fact before the mind of a mother will be the best guiding principle in their training. It is because Christian parents so often forget whose their children are, that they make such mistakes in training them. I say then to you, mothers, settle it in your minds that your child belongs to God and not to you, that you are only stewards for God, holding your children to nurse them and train them for Him. I thought that was very powerful. The children that God gives to us are not ours. They're given on loan. We are stewards in the hand of God to train them in the right way. They are the Lord's children. And Sarah was faithful. No doubt about that when it came to the upbringing of Isaac. The second one I want to mention is Rachel. And if I was to put a word across her life, it was fruitfulness. Jacob had to flee his brother's wrath. You remember that? He had to go away from home. He was away for 20 years. But God had an overruling plan in his life. One of those plans involved Rachel. He was to marry this woman whom he loved very much. But you know the affliction that daubed her life and her body. The Bible tells us, but Rachel was barren. She couldn't have children. And this burden caused her to be envious and frustrated and unhappy. You know, God was very gracious to her sister Leah, who was less loved, and she bore several children. I can ask you to turn back to Genesis again, and this time chapter 30, and the opening verse says, when Rachel saw that she bared Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister and said unto Jacob, listen to these words, give me children, or else I die. Despite Rachel's beauty, And the fact that she was highly loved, she was near despair over this one thing. No doubt Leah had often said, if only I had my sister's beauty and the love of my husband, I would be happy. And no doubt Rachel often said, if only I could have children like my sister, I would be happy. And we see the frustration of her burden in this opening verse. She comes to her husband and she says, give me children or else I die. There was fault here in the way that she conducted herself and behaved. But there was not only a fault, there was a burden. And I think we detect it. The Lord was so gracious in the midst of all this frustration, and he did step into her life. And we go on to read that God remembered Rachel in verse 22 of chapter 30 and hearkened to her and opened her womb, and she conceived and bare a son and said, God had taken away my reproach. She called his name Joseph. The mother in Israel was fruitful. She brought children into this world. Now, leaving aside Rachel's envy, her frustration, her sullenness indeed, I want to draw a lesson here, and it is a lesson about fruitfulness. A good mother in Israel ought to be fruitful in a spiritual sense, which is more important, infinitely more important than in a physical sense. I suggest to you that a modern-day mother in Israel ought to bear fruit, ought to bear personal fruit, first of all. The kind of fruit that we've been studying recently in Galatians chapter 5 and verses 22 and 23. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and so forth. Our children, I'm sure you remember it. You learned it recently. Every Christian, in fact, must be characterized by fruitfulness. You see, it's the evidence that we're saved. We bring forth fruit meet for repentance, the Bible says. Jesus says, ye have not chosen me, I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. We are to be filled, Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 1, verse 11, filled with the fruits of righteousness. And we are to walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. In Colossians 1 and verse 10. The only way that we can be fruitful is by abiding in Christ. I commend John 15 to you. Study it. It's the story of the true vine. Christ is the true vine. You and I that are saved, we the branches, we're united to him. He tells us in verse 5, of John chapter 15, that if we abide in him and he abides in us, then we shall bring forth much fruit unto his great name's sake. And that's the only way. When Paul outlined the godly qualities of the deacon's wife in 1 Timothy chapter 3, he was only outlining what every good Christian woman should be. Every single Christian woman, saved by the grace of God, should be this. 1 Timothy 3, verse 11. Just get the portion. Even so must their wives, that's the wives of the deacons, be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. And then Peter tells us what a godly woman should look like in 1 Peter chapter 3. And verses 3 and 4. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. Whose adorning? Let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting of hair and wearing of gold, putting on of apparel. No, he's telling us that there's something better than this physical outward adorning. He said, let it be, verse 4, let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit, which in the sight of God is of great price. Thank God for our godly mothers in Israel who are very fruitful when it comes to Christian graces and virtues. Serious-minded, if I can just paraphrase what I have read to you from 1 Timothy and here from 1 Peter. They are serious-minded. They are faithful individuals. They are women who are careful with their tongues. These mothers are clothed with meekness and a quiet spirit. And remember, these qualities are invaluable in the sight of God, great price. That's how the scripture puts it. That's how God views these virtues. Then there's outward fruit, bringing others to Christ. Indeed, this is fruitfulness, the kind of fruit that is pictured in the Psalm 126, bearing precious seed, bringing in the sheaves. Our blessed Savior spoke about the harvest being plenteous. He exhorted his disciples to lift up their eyes and look in the fields that are white already to harvest. We're talking here about bringing others to the Savior. We have mothers in Israel in the family context. Mothers here who have been the instrument in the hand of God to bring their children to Christ. We have mothers in Israel in the church. And you have been used of God in the Sunday school, in the children's work. Tremendous influence you've had in bringing the children to Christ. We have mothers out there in the community who are a great influence to the children round about them, in a work environment and so on. Rachel, I believe, is known for her fruitfulness as a mother in Israel. And then can I hasten just to my final character, and that's Jochebed. And I want to think about her watchfulness. Come with me to troubled times for Israel in Egypt. People of God are in bondage. They're in slavery. They indeed are in labor camps, you could say, forced to work for the mighty Pharaoh under the heavy hand of wicked men, wicked taskmasters. So blessed were they with fruitfulness that Pharaoh felt threatened. These people are increasing. These families are blessed with so many children. They're going to breed us out. They're going to take over. They're going to join with our enemies. And they're going to come against us. And so in order to reduce the numbers of the Israelites, Pharaoh had a plan to cull that nation. Every male child was to be murdered. As simple as that. As soon as they're born, kill the child. But there was at least one woman, and I know there were likely many others, but at least one woman that the Bible tells us about that decided to protect her child. She hid her child for 3 months. She and her husband did this not only because it was the natural parental instinct to do so. If your child, your baby was going to be butchered by Pharaoh's men, you would want to hide your child. That would be the normal thing to do. But they did it not only because it was the parental instinct, but they did so in faith before God. Hebrews 11, verse 23 describes the faith of Moses' parents. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw that he was a proper child. Led in the reeds by the river's bank, this mother preserved the life of her son, protected him from the evil edict of the king. This not only kept the child alive, but this was an act, this was an example of faith, trusting in God. When Moses' mother let go of that little boat in the bulrushes, she was giving up something very precious, trusting that God would take care of what she was doing and perhaps devise some way to bring that child back to her, which he did. I will not go into the sovereign and providential workings of God in the midst of all these circumstances, only to say that God took care of the child and made him great in the eyes of the Lord and in the eyes of man. But here's the lesson I want you to grasp. We must be watchful over our children. Do everything within our power and our ability to protect our children from the enemy. who has only one design and one purpose for every single child that is born into our families, and that is the death, the destruction of that child. You better believe that. That's the only plan that Satan has for your offspring, to make sure that they die without the Lord and make sure they're destroyed forevermore. We must do everything possible, therefore, to set a hedge round about them and shield them from the world, the flesh, and the devil. This great trilogy of evil is out to destroy our children and bring them down. In our watchful care, there are two things to note as we close. Firstly, our responsibility. We have a duty. We must act. Moses' mother acted. She did something. Protect your children from the sins of this world. Hide them as far as you can, as far as it's possible, from the world and the devil, from evil companions that will influence them detrimentally and maybe irreparably. Protect them from evil places that will draw them away from God and his ways, and make sure that your children are underneath the means of grace, where God wants them to be on the Sabbath day particularly. Do all within your power. That's your responsibility as a parent, as a mother. Secondly, there's God's sovereignty. Jochebed trusted in the Lord to do the rest. I'll do my bit. I'm going to trust God will do his bit. And my dear Christian mother, my dear Christian father, if I can address both parents, you do your bit before God and you fulfill your responsibility. You can confidently leave your children with the Lord for the Lord to do his bit. You see, it is this covenant relationship, isn't it? And when we enter into covenant with God, we are saying before God, I will do what the Scripture requires of me to do as far as my children are concerned, and then I will leave it in the hands of God to do and fulfill his will in their lives. When we have done our bit faithfully, dutifully, and earnestly, we look to the Lord and we pray that God will direct their paths, and I believe that he will. So aim to be a mother in Israel. Thank you, dear parents, dear not only those that have children, but dear mothers in Israel in this congregation, for all you do for the children of this church. And may the Lord help us to keep at the work. So we close today with 748. O happy home where thou art loved the dearest, thy loving friend and Savior of our race. And where among the guests there never cometh one who can hold such high and honored place.
Thank you. stay just for a wee moment of something to say, and the service will continue to take place and be broadcast. But let's pray first of all. Our gracious God and loving Heavenly Father, thank Thee for Your word, the challenge of it, and what we ought to be as mothers and even fathers. We pray that we will be that influence in our homes and in our church here, in our community likewise. We pray that there will be everything of example to look at as the children follow our pattern, a pattern that will lead them to Christ, will lead them to heaven. Lord, save our children, unite them in the Lord, give us household salvation, and bless our dear mothers in Israel in this congregation. We do ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. It is Mother's Day. We've preached the Mother's Day message, and we want to just acknowledge our mothers that are here. And just a very, very small little gift we have for every mother in Israel. So if you're a lady here, you'll get this. I'm going to ask if you have a few children just to help me with this. So a few children, just come on up to the front until we have 5 or 10 or whatever. Any volunteers? My grandchildren are always very quick there to get up, lead the way. Amen. Anybody else? Nobody else? Where are the workers? Come on. Is there 2 more? Are there 2 more? Any other child? You want to do a little favor for the mothers of Israel? Thank you, Ava. Thank you. All right. Nobody else? John's going to help. And Ryan, are you helping as well? Good. You need to be sent in different ways. Just make sure every lady gets one. Anyone that looks like a lady. Amen. And you can give the other women too. Are we getting there okay? Go to the back. Help the children now. Put your hand up, you didn't get one. I think Susie's just practicing for being a bride, walking down the aisle. I hope every lady got it. If you didn't, let me know and I will personally deliver it to you next year. This week. All right, thank you very much. Trust the Lord will bless you as you go home. Have a nice afternoon. See you tonight.